He is Brad Pascal, assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames, the man in charge of the Stockton Heat. Joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline, Mr. Pascal, how are you?
I'm doing good, Rob Kerr. How are you?
Excellent. Fond memories of the World Hockey Championships? I mean, Canada's playing Germany now.
Yes, I know. I was watching that. We're in the midst of our amateur scout meetings, and during our break, we had the chance to watch a little bit of that. But, yeah, fond memories. The fondest are when you win gold medals. Those are fond memories, but the World Championships is a special event for sure, especially in Paris, I'm sure.
Well, and kind of wonky because Germany wins, sneaks into the playoffs. Now Canada has to get on a train and go to Cologne to play the host team. That doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't, especially when they finish first. But, you know, that's all agreed upon years in advance.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure it seemed like a good idea at the time.
All right, let's talk about the squad that you were responsible for in Stockton, the American Hockey League. The Heat pushing the San Jose Barracuda to Game 5, pushing them to overtime, eventually falling in overtime. I know that you've had a chance to talk to the coaches and I imagine the players and debrief them. What are your thoughts on what happened in 2016-17 for Calgary's top affiliate?
Well, I think progression is the number one thing, and I think as a team, you know, qualifying for the playoffs, improving upon our record, and you know, is one thing, and then just progression of seeing some of our young prospects, first year guys and guys that have been second and third year guys that progress their game and you know, just becoming more elite prospects overall, and you know, I think filling the cupboards, if you will, for the Calgary Flames and you know, really having a good selection of players throughout our system now that can push and push for spots on the NHL roster. And I think we're in a position where we're going to have a number of battles at the start of the upcoming season.
Was the I guess the one defining part of this season was the great start, then kind of falling flat and then scrambling to get back in, showing that intestinal fortitude of getting yourselves back into a playoff spot?
It was three distinct seasons, Rob, as you mentioned. We came out like gangbusters as a team early on and up until about Christmas, and then geez, I think we were one period where we won one game in 14 games and had a real difficult stretch after Christmas. And then you're right. We, you know, I think, you know, it was a resilient group. The personnel really didn't change at all. And then went on a tremendous run at the end to qualify for the playoffs and take San Jose, who was a first place team in the Pacific Division, to five games and losing ultimately in overtime. But, you know, I think throughout the season overall, even during that losing stretch, we had a competitive team. You know, you take a lot of positives and learning experience along the way, too, but a lot of positives from the season as a whole.
Let me ask you about the coaches, because we're going to talk a lot about the players, but Ryan Huska and his staff, your thought on their work this year?
No different than the players, Rob. They progressed as individuals and as coaches. You know, Ryan Huska, I believe, and our organization believes he's a tremendous young coach and has done a great job in the three seasons he's been with us. He, you know, like I said, they progress as coaches in the way of learning. And for Ryan's case, he coached a number of years in the Western Hockey League, and then even in his third season as a pro coach, you're always learning and always learning how to get better and managing personalities and ultimately coming up with a game plan that works. And I think this year was no different for Ryan. You know, I think his communication skills with our players are tremendous. He's an excellent teacher of the game and understands, hey, our primary goal is developing young players and progressing them on. And then you balance that with winning and surrounding yourself with some good veteran leaders and talent, and you know, we feel overall we did a good job, and we thought Ryan and his coaches did a very good job as well.
Do you anticipate any changes with coaching in Stockton for next year?
Well, I mean, no different than players. I think you look at Stockton's staff, whether it's the trainers or equipment managers or what have you. It's a development, you know, development opportunity. And I think, you know, anybody on the staff there, their end goal is to be in the NHL. You know, at this point, I don't anticipate any changes. You know, we're still going to, I've done all my debriefs with the Stockton staff postseason there and all the players. And, And, you know, over the next number of days, we're going to have the opportunity to sit down with Brad and Craig and Brian and go through, you know, our collective thoughts and you know, our the direction of our hockey club overall, both in Calgary and Stockton. And you know, no different than we do with players and what we see for our goals and objectives and spots that we have to fill on our NHL roster. We do the same with our AHL roster, and we do things with the same thing with staffing overall.
Is Ryan due a new contract, or has he still got tenure or some time?
Yeah, his contract is up, okay. And we've had some initial conversations with him, but yeah, he's due for a new contract.
Brad, before we get into the different players and everything, just a thought on the injuries and what the status was at the end of the year. How banged up were you, and how significant are some of these injuries moving into the offseason?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things, Rob, where you're humming along with no injuries and everything's going good, and especially leading into the playoffs. You know, we added a few players along the way, some junior players in the way of, you know, Matthew Phillips and even Dylan Dubé at the very end, and then signing Josh Healy out of college, you know, and bringing over Madam Olaf Mattsson. So I guess what I'm telling you is we had 10 defensemen leading down into the playoffs. We had a couple guys banged up, but we had the numbers there. And at one point, I believe we only had 12 forwards. So the first game in the playoffs, we had a few injuries, a couple concussions and a couple injuries, and, you know, set us back. We didn't have the depth at that time up front after the first game of the playoffs, and that hurt us. You know, for the most part, guys are, guys are back and cleared to play now. A couple lingering ones. One's Morgan Klimchuk. You know, he'll be another few weeks. But he should have a good summer training ahead of him. Hunter Smith broke his jaw, I believe, 19 games left in the regular season, so he'll be recovering over the summertime. Dan Preble is another guy who had hip surgery. He's fully to be back at the start of the season, fully recovered and ready to go. And Emile Poirier left the team early in the new year due to personal reasons, and he's back training, having already a great start to his summer training. And I know both him and us are looking forward to him coming back fully healthy and ready to go for the start of the season.
What about David Rittich? Because he didn't finish Game 5.
Didn't finish Game 5. That was just more of the 24-hour flu, if you will. So he was fully recovered, a couple days later. The next day he was feeling a little bit better, and he was ready to, you know, he would have been ready to go for Game 1 of the next round if he was called.
Brad Pascal, Assistant General Manager of the Calgary Flames, our guest down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Pat?
Hello, Brad. How are you?
Good, Pat. Very good, thanks.
Good. Good to hear. Hey, we just heard you talk about David Rittich. How would you, first of all, before we get into specifics on each of the goalies, just how would you classify your goaltending as a whole in Stockton this year?
Well, I think overall, if you look across the American League and just prospects overall, I think, you know, we had the best depth, if you will, of goaltending. And even talking to some of our, you know, our veteran guys, whether Matt Fratton or Mike Angelides, Jamie Devane, guys that have been around, you know, they had indicated, too, the same thing of like, holy smokes, I've played a lot of years in the NHL or AHL, and you know, we had two really solid goalies at any given time. And so, you know, I was really pleased with both their seasons. Statistically, David had a better season. But, you know, John's coming off of being out and not playing for 7 straight months with recovering from hip surgery prior to the start of the season. So, but overall, hey, these are, you know, John, as everybody knows and confirmed, with the season that he had, I mean, he's a tremendous prospect and just a great talent. And David was somebody that we signed over the summertime. We had a lot of interest in, and quite frankly, he surprised, especially early. You know, he having 5 shutouts in the season and some back-to-back shutouts. He played extremely well. How he battles in the net is second to none. And even the short time he spent up in Calgary, you know, it was mentioned by a lot of the players of just, you know, how hard he works and how hard he battles. So, you know, definitely an area of strength. And, you know, I think both of them are still, you know, learning their way and going through, you know, what it takes to be a pro and how to be at the next level. They both had a little bit of taste of being in the NHL, and now it's up to them, as it is to all of our players, is hey, you have to have the best summer that you've had, and you really have to be better, as we all do. And but hey, as we know, there's spots to be opened up, and it's up to them to push the summer and then push at the start of the season.
Knowing that this was the first season in North America for Rittich, how did that surprise you that he was able to come over and excel so quickly?
Well, we knew he was a talented goalie. You know, even talking to him throughout the season and then obviously wrapping things up at the end of the season, you know, he said, hey, for sure, it was an adjustment coming from international ice to North American ice. And at times, you know, he was adjusting for the first couple of months. You know, he had some great success statistically, but, you know, still just kind of learning the North American game. But, you know, yeah, hey, it was a surprise, especially right out of the gates. You know, we knew the player, but then when you have him day in and day out, you really get to know him. So you knew he's a talented guy, but you just didn't know where it was going to go. And, you know, John broke his finger early in the season there, and then it gave David the opportunity to get the net for four or five games, and that's really, you know, was the where he took off, and he really just, you know, took hold of it, if you will, and played extremely well. So at that point on, we knew that we had a great goalie prospect in Rittich.
Knowing that Gillies basically missed all of last season with the injury, and did you kind of look at this year as a rookie year for Gillies and evaluate him as such?
For sure, in my mind, yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at, you know, just of where he was in his development and only playing seven games the year before and really spending a lot of his rehab back in at home and you know, part of it in Calgary, but back at home rehabbing. You take this year as his rookie year and what we thought was a very good year for him and a learning year for him, but I think successful and setting it up for him for the start of camp for next season.
So did you see a lot of improvement in his game as the year went along? Because you mentioned the numbers ended up being a little bit more superior for Rittich, but what about as the year went along for Gillies? Where did you see the improvement in his game?
Well, I think overall, just preparation. I mean, hey, this guy, you know, he won an NCAA championship and has always been a top goalie and improvements for me on John is just, you know, I think dealing at sometimes with some adversity, of playing more games than in a college schedule, having a goalie backing you up that was doing so well in David of how what his numbers were and pushing him along. So I think for John, he's matured as a goalie, if you will, of just, hey, knowing the pressure at the pro level of, hey, developing, but also, you know, winning to get you to the next level. And you know, like any of these guys, it's you know, anytime you up and move and you're in a new environment and, you know, just you're not going to school now in his case, so now you're up and cooking your own food and trying to fill the time and making sure that your fitness level is where it is. So, you know, I think overall, just as being a pro is one of the other improvements that he made.
Going forward now, organizationally, I know that at the NHL level, the goaltending situation isn't decided for next season, but how comfortable would the organization be with one of Rittich or Gillies being full-time in the NHL next season?
Well, hey, we're happy with the goalie prospects we have. You look at, you know, we've talked about Gillies and Rittich, and then obviously Tyler Parsons, Nick Schneider, Mason McDonald. We have Thomas McCollum under contract who, you know, after we loaned him to Charlotte, had an extremely good run there of games. So, you know, I think we have a number of really good goalie prospects, if you will, under contract. And you know, we tell them all, hey, it's up to them to battle for positions. Ultimately, would we see one of them in Calgary? I mean, time will tell. You know, we obviously, we have a couple of spots open here in Calgary, and how we fill those spots over the next number of, you know, days, weeks, months, you know, and you know, if guys are pushing for spots, and if we decide to leave spots open or let these guys push for it, I mean, if they deserve it, we're gonna do everything we can to make sure that they, you know, that we're put ourselves in the best way we can to be successful here in Calgary, and whether it's these guys or we're gonna go out and get other guys, that's. Those decisions will be made here in short period of time.
Well, final question on goaltending, but how does Tyler Parsons, and let's just assume that he turns pro next year as a 20-year-old, how does him entering the professional side of the organization change things for Stockton and change the whole conversation between the pipes?
For sure. That's we're going to have our pro scouting meetings upcoming on the weekend here. And, you know, that's one of the topics, obviously, goaltending overall and looking at the depth chart of what we have and where we see guys fitting in. So, I mean, those discussions will take place. But, hey, Tyler's obviously a fantastic, young, successful, winning goaltender as well. And, you know, we're ecstatic to have him as part of our organization, and you know, after his season was done in London, he got to spend some time in Stockton and work with our goalie coach and be around our coaches and the rest of the players that hopefully he'll be progressing with in the years to come.
Brad Pascal of the Calgary Flames, our guest on the South Street Burger guest hotline, as we talk about the Stockton Heat. Your defenseman under your prospect defenseman, I guess, under contract intrigued me a lot because, boy, you had a little bit of everything, didn't you? You had guys like Kulak and Wotherspoon who've been bumping up against the NHL for a couple years, but then you have, you know, a second-year Shillington, first-year Anderson. You bring Olas Mattsson over. At the end, what did you have? What did you see from your young prospected defenseman?
Well, just the ability to play in all different situations. You look at, you know, Shillington or Anderson, Kulak, Wotherspoon. I mean, these guys were, you know, playing top 4 minutes, playing against the other team's top lines, power play, penalty kill, and you know, baptism by fire in a lot of ways of you know, making mistakes, learning from it, and then continuing their progression. And I think you look at all those guys, you know, I think that they improved their game from the first game of the season to the last game. And you know, you see in-season games on the ice and even off the ice with these guys. So, you know, you can't say that every year, but this was one year that you really saw, you know, good, solid progression for these guys. And you know, they're still, in the case of Rasmus and Oliver Shillington, are still young guys. I mean, not excluding Brett Kulak or Wotherspoon, who are relatively young as well. But you know what I mean? In the way these guys are, you know, in Rasmus's case, first-year pro and still learning, and what he takes away from this for the summer and how he can hopefully push for a spot in Calgary and more time in Calgary. I think that's all their goals. And I think they set themselves up with having a good season.
You mentioned before that you brought in a couple of junior forwards. You ended up giving them playoff time in Dylan Dubé and Matt Phillips. How did they perform in that? It's one thing to play games at the end of the year, but it's a different animal when you're in the postseason.
No, for sure, yeah. I mean, Matt Phillips is both Matt Phillips and Dylan Dubé are obviously really skilled players. You saw that in the time that they were there, both practices and games. I think Dylan just played game 5 of the playoffs, and Matt got in a couple of games in the playoffs and regular season. So, you know, for them, I think, hey, in talking to them, you know, after the games that they played, hey, it's you know, it's a transition. I think they were really happy with having an understanding now in the back of their mind of, you know, what the American League is, even for the short period of time there was. What a great league it is, how good the hockey is, the quickness, how much more quicker and more skilled and bigger that the players are at the pro level compared to the WHL in their cases. And you know, I think overall a good learning experience for them and part of their overall progression.
Up front, just a thought on some of your rookie forwards. I know that, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Mark Jankowski, and rightfully so when you look what he did in terms of other American Hockey League rookies. But Mangiapane and some of the other first-year forwards, what did you get out of that group?
Well, I think, you know, tremendous skill. You look at Andrew Mangiapane, 20 goals as a rookie is a, you know, it's a great achievement. Mark Jankowski, we talk about his, I mean, overall his game was, you know, he really drove the offense for the Stockton Heat. Garnet Hathaway was up and down. You know, I think they played as a line, Mangiapane, Jankowski, and Hathaway. And, you know, Garnet Hathaway just brought that the physical element and the edge and finishing checks that enabled some space for Jankowski and Mangiapane. You know, Hunter Shinkaruk, especially at the end of the season in the playoffs, how he elevated his game, you know, in at the important time of the year, if you will, of just driving the puck and really being an offensive threat when he was on the ice, you know, a tremendous end of the season. You know, those were probably the guys that really stood out the most from an offensive standpoint. Of course, Morgan Klimchuk, you know, just from a point total year, from year one to year two, how reliable he was in all situations. You know, how he could chip in offensively, but his real, just his energy on every shift and how he really attacked the offensive zone. On the forecheck and battling for loose pucks, you know, was a real good standout year for him.
Are we missing anybody? I mean, it's real easy to look at the, you know, where these guys were drafted or how recently they were drafted or the points. But is there somebody, Brad, down there that we haven't asked you about? Somebody that needs a little recognition for the work they put in?
Well, you know, Ryan Lomberg would be a player, that we signed. You know, in the new year here, he spent the last couple of years on American League contracts with us. The first year spent a good portion of his time in the ECHL, and he was a regular. Played all of our games in Stockton, played all 68. Was the only player to do so on the team, and just a great player in the way of you know, for his size, how tough he is, how he impacts the game with his energy. You know, again, just a reliable player. And I think that a player that's going to turn some heads, you know, as a recent signee, if you will, but it's going to turn some heads come the fall of a, you know, a guy that could possibly come in and give you some games in a fourth line role and provide some energy and really give you a little bit of a jump, if you will.
Brad, any update on the plans for Rob mentioned Adam Olis Madsen a little while. Is he full time North American next year? Is that the plan for him, or do you know yet?
Yeah, we're gonna have those discussions over the next week or two. He's you know, he's a player that has the option to go back to Sweden. You know, we hold his rights for another year, or come over here either on an American League contract or an NHL contract. Obviously, those discussions would have to take place with us and him and his representative. But, you know, he's a player that you know, I think would excel from being over in North America and continue his development over here. You know, a player that we really like. He's a big body, handles the puck really well, just a smart, smart player. Has to work on his overall pace and skating, and something that he knows that he's going to work on over the summer on that, continue to work on. But, again, those decisions will be made here just on his status in the coming weeks.
I guess is that, you know, you've got some vested interest in this. This was the team you were minding and watching. As you look ahead towards the fall, do you anticipate, you know, a handful of these guys coming in and pushing really hard for jobs?
Well, for sure. I mean, first off, hey, it's not just my team. Obviously, it's a group effort here with Brad and Craig and Brian and myself, and we all make visits and talk. You know, I'm in daily communication, and those guys are in regular communication with the group down there. So this is, you know, it's all of us, and we're all progressing this. You know, these group of players, and including our player development staff. But I think so, Rob. I think that a number of these guys are, you know, that had great seasons. They know, you know, they had a little bit of success. Some of them had a little taste of being in Calgary for a short period of time. And I think that, you know, we have a competitive group of young players down here that, you know, that want to make a difference, that want to play in the NHL. I mean, I think that's probably the obvious statement because every player does. But to see the competitive nature of our group and knowing how difficult we were to play against for, you know, opposing teams and seeing the progression of guys, I think a lot of these players are going to be turning some heads and hopefully pushing for some spots here, you know, come training camp September.
Good stuff. Brad, as always, appreciate it. Thank you for the generous use of your time this year to kind of bring us up to speed on what's going on down there. I know we're going to see a lot here over the summer, but we want to thank you for that. It's been a lot of fun kind of watching the progress of the American League Club.
Anytime, guys.
See you, Brad.
Brad Paschal. Assistant General Manager of the Calgary Flames, kind enough to join us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Check out the new menu at all four Calgary locations, now serving a fresh grilled antibiotic hormone-free turkey burger. More at southstreetburger.com.